More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do we still live in a constitutional republic? I've been pondering this question about what kind of country we're currently living in. It seems more like an authoritarian nation than it does a republic. We saw this escalate very quickly during COVID, where we saw leaders and government assume more power. We saw big businesses get bigger. And now, because of the banking crisis, we're seeing big banks get bigger. The centralization of government is probably one of the biggest threats we face to this country. The more centralized we get, the further away we are from a free country. You throw on top the damage that's been done to the rule of law and an effort to try to indict and to get Donald Trump. So we're going to turn to someone who has been a fighter of liberty more than, you know, anyone else in this country. And that's Dr. Ron Paul. Of course, you know that he ran for president. He was a member of Congress for quite some time as well. He's also the host of the Liberty Report. You can find it on Rumble. But we're going to turn to him. I mean, he's been warning about all of this stuff for so long. So who better to turn to try to get some wisdom on where we are, how we got here, and where we're going? Stay tuned for Dr. Ron Paul. Dr. Ron Paul, it's always an honor to have you on the show. I appreciate you making the time today.
Good to be with you, Lisa.
You know, sir, we've got a lot going on in the country right now. We are awaiting a potential Trump indictment from the Manhattan DA's office. What do you make of it? And if it happens, what do you think it means for the country?
Not much good. But, you know, it's fascinating because so far the threat of indictments doing Trump a lot of good. Because people were smarter than I guess they ever anticipated, that people who hate Trump thought, well, we'll destroy this man. But they've been doing that for 5 years or so. And now, of course, an indictment never done before will ruin him forever. It remains to be seen. People are unpredictable. I think because it's all based on lies, innuendos, and political shenanigans, I don't think it's going to hurt Trump like the Democrats think. It may just totally backfire on him. But in a way, this is very democratically decided. It's going to be the will of the people, the impression the people have, that makes all the difference. But so far, it hasn't been hurting him. But it's total nonsense. But if you look at long-term stability in our judicial system, it's a disaster. I mean, this whole thing going on, whether this indictment and all the nonsense that went on with January 6th and also Russiagate, it's built with just a mountain of lies and innuendos. So that, I think, is very dangerous. I don't think we have rule of law at all. But the immediate political impact might be a little bit different, but that'll also be, temporary, because what really should bother all of us is what's happening to our system of the rule of law, and it really doesn't exist. And I think that is one of our greatest dangers that we're facing today.
I agree with you, sir. The danger to the rule of law. I mean, it does seem like we've lost it in America Is it possible to get it back, or once it's gone, or are we just veering down a dangerous road?
That's the key question. Right now, I'm trying to sort all this out by writing a little bit on it. You know, and it's very easy to come up with all the disasters. But then deep down in my soul, I want to be, and there's reason to say, well, the world's not coming to an end. Then I tell myself, you know, I was born during the Depression. I remember the conversations about our Depression. I remember the World War II. I remember people dying, friends and neighbors and relatives in World War II, Vietnam, Korea, and all these places. And I think, you know, that's a huge thing to go through. So sometimes things, you know, work out better than you anticipate. But I still think that fundamentally and structurally, whether it's the rule of law or moral fiber or people telling the truth, I'll tell you what, I think we're worse off under those fundamentals than we were when we were suffering through the depressions and world wars. So, and whether or not we can recover, I would say, yes, we can. We can, but the big but is we have to do the right thing. I have spoken to a lot of college campuses during campaigns, and I would spend, you know, if I spoke for an hour, I'd spend 50 minutes or so trying to get young people alerted to the fact that spending money and debt is bad and bankruptcies are bad and destruction of money is very, very dangerous. And then in the last 10 minutes, I say, but the answers are here. We know what to do. The founders gave us good guidance. And what we need to do is just follow the rules. And things would get better rather quickly, even though I predict that's not going to happen. It's available. So if there's a few of us around that believe that and understand it, and you don't want to just go hide in the mountain someplace, then the most important thing we do is try to understand it to the best of our ability and then try to convert other people to doing it and then finally get people to do the right thing. A incident that occurred here in the last couple of years, I think, should be a positive thing. And that is, think of the horrible, horrible things that were happening as an excuse of COVID. We're all going to die from COVID. And they had the lockdowns and all these things. But then the people started waking up. You know, a couple of years ago, they said it's going to continue. It will never be stopped. And it's still, you know, out there and it's still a danger. But when people wake up, that makes a difference. So in my lifetime, I've been in politics and medicine and other things. But right now, my whole goal is trying to reach as many people as possible to say there are answers, but we have to be motivated, you know, to find a way to spread that message. And what you do, Lisa, is part of that. And you probably don't even have any idea how many people you've influenced. So I think that is the positive things. And the other thing is, you know, the remnant out there is you can't measure it. And ideas do have consequences. And I think we're winning some battles there when we think about some of our libertarian Austrian school think tanks. I think we've made some real progress.
Well, I appreciate that, sir. You know, I think I've mentioned to you before that, you know, COVID was an awakening for me of just seeing the loss of liberty so quickly. It was just hard to not miss and hard to not see. And disturbing as well. When did we lose the rule of law? Has it just been a steady erosion, or are there key moments that you could point to and say, aha, you know, that's when it happened?
The big picture is what I'm trying to put down and think about and mull over. And that is, I believe there's been a coup of the American system, the American Republic, the Constitution, and a group came in and they took it over and they're in charge. So you don't go to war with declaration. You go to war when a president writes an executive order. And I date the real, and the number one date I came up with, there a lot of incidents that have occurred, but the date that I come up with is when it became very obvious that there has been a coup of our government and our system, and that was November 22nd, 1963. And I remember that clearly, and that, of course, was when Kennedy was shot by the CIA, and then Robert Kennedy was shot, and Martin Luther King was shot, and then 100 other people that were related were shot. And the odds are, most Americans now believe that it was probably we ourselves that did it to us. The Russians didn't come and do it to us. So I think that's when it happened, and that exists. But that's just to trying to understand it. But when you look at what they did, the bad stuff they did under COVID, you know, that atmosphere is there. So it's an attitude, it's a prevailing attitude. It's the Soroses of the world, the taking over our universities, taking over medicine. So they have been winning these battles. But once again, the only thing that we have left is trying to use the freedoms that we have to persuade other people to change their minds. And of course, that's where I see bits and pieces of hope.
Well, and of course, we've seen this broader centralization of power since COVID. You know, the government has grown bigger, big businesses have grown bigger, and big banks as well. I mean, we're facing this global banking crisis right now, and you've had the government step in as well as other big banks getting bigger. You know, talk a little bit about how we got here and where you think that's heading.
Well, we got here. There's very specific dates how we went from, you know, what the founders said, you know, you can have only gold and silver as legal tender. There was nobody allowed to emit bills of credit or paper money. And that would be the restraining a way of not allowing people to spend too much money on undeclared wars or developing a welfare state. So the big date on that, of course, is 1913 because of the educational progressive system that was occurring. It was a philosophic change, and that's when we got the Federal Reserve and the income tax. And then that's when Woodrow Wilson went, to globalism and making the world safe for democracy. It's more or less been downhill for that until, you know, some dates. But when it comes to money, we had the Federal Reserve, and then they still had their whole goal. The people who believed in liberty, the ones that were opposed to the liberty, had to get rid of an independent monetary system and honest money. So they probably didn't sit down and say, well, let's have a depression, but their policies were stupid enough to give us a depression. And then the first thing that Roosevelt did was take in the gold. That meant that we were a bankrupt country. The American people weren't allowed to own gold. And that lasted for 40 years that we weren't allowed to own gold. But we were trying to keep it together amazingly well with guaranteeing our dollar overseas at $35 an ounce with the Bretton Woods Agreement. But that was doomed to fail. Henry Hazlitt said it wouldn't work even when it was started in 1945. So it collapses, and that is when we have the next stage of bankruptcy. That means we defaulted on our promise to pay, and nobody was reimbursed by gold anymore. So that was a major, major event. Was August 15th of 71, and it's just skyrocketed. So everything that's been happening in these last 20 or 30 years, really very predictable. Austrian economists understand it, and they know where the problems are, and they work hard at trying to convince people. But the obstacles are pretty great. Universities are controlled by people who are more attuned to George Soros than they are to, von Mises. So that is a problem. But if everybody says, well, it's not doable, you can't ever change people's mind, you must. You're joining the gang because the people who are our enemies don't believe in truth. They're nihilists. So if we give up and say, well, we can't do it, we become, endorser of nihilism, say, we can't do it, it's a failure, and it's beyond our control. And we don't know that. Miracles can happen. But everybody, my advice is, everybody that finally discovers, you know, that there is a problem, and they know basically what the answer is. It can be found in personal liberty and honest money and a judicial system that is honest. If everybody that knows that, I believe they personally have a moral obligation to do whatever they can to spread that message for their own benefit, their family's benefit, and everybody else's benefit, because the world would be better off if we had more people agreeing with it.
And then also more bold people, it gives cover to other people than to step up and to speak the truth and to be brave in the face of sort of this mob mentality that we're living in now. You know, you'd mentioned George Soros a couple of times. How much damage has he done to the country?
I guess if you wanted to name it, and you had a vote, it would be a tough race between George Soros and Fauci, you know, doing the home. But they're one and the same group in many ways. They believe in authoritarianism. They do not believe in a higher law, and they aren't moralists. They don't believe in truth. They don't think it's possible to know truth. So therefore, if you're a nihilist, you license yourself to decide who will determine the truth. And that, of course, is what it was always said about the Soviets. The party decided the truth. And they said that in a very serious philosophic manner. Well, you have to have order. You just can't have everybody deciding. And they had no interest in something that some people have come around to believing is a higher law and that it's identifiable. But if you look at ancient history from the very first book ever written, you know, thousands of years ago, there was a recognition that you shouldn't lie, cheat, and steal and kill people. You know, there was a higher law that was determined outside, you know, of the bureaucrats and the government.
And we've really lost that, to your point. I do feel like when I was growing up that there were some just basic tenets that we all agreed in as Americans, and that seems to have been eroded. And there's so much, you know, gray area in that. How close to an authoritarian nation are we right now?
Oh, I think we're very authoritarian. There's not much you do. But one thing is including myself, we all march to the laws and the rules and the regulations because we're not quite ready to take up a gun and say, you can't make me do that. You know, so it's very authoritarian. I mean, all you have to do is look at the Federal Register and look at the laws being passed and all the nonsense going on and what's on our television and who runs social media. I think one big thing is much clearer now, although many of us would say this was the case coming along for many, many decades, and that is the collusion of big business and big government. And you can see this, especially with the lockdowns and other things. It was the business people that were enforcing the lockdowns, and the government said, "Oh, we believe in free speech and First Amendment," but it was always the connection. So that has existed, and that's all authoritarianism, very sophisticated and very tricky. And the one thing is, since they don't even believe there is such a thing as truth, and they also believe that you should use truth to the lying to their benefit, it just continues forever. So that's why I think that basically, and even the founders talked about it, you know, we've given you a constitution, but it's not going to work if you don't have a moral people. And right now, I would say we're less moral people than we have been, you know, in the last 100, 200 years. I think really the 100 years since the progressive era is where we really started downhill. And now we're in a dilemma. We have to decide, can we go deeper? Can we give more authority to the government? And it's they're out there. I mean, the COVID, and you discovered something going on with COVID, control of people. That's what that was all about. They weren't caring about medicine. They wanted to destroy medicine. Too much independence with doctors and patients, and too much natural medicine. So they had to stop that. And that's why we had so much authoritarianism in medicine and education, the whole work. So and it's ultimately a threat by government to punish us. I mean, right now, in recent years, it's been, I could lose my job on this, you know. How am I going to feed my kids? So No, it's rampant. It's epidemic, and the authoritarianism has to be stopped, or this is going to get a lot worse. I keep hoping and seeing cracks in the cement there, where the authoritarians are losing a little bit of clout, and that we'll move in the other direction. And I still work on that assumption, but some days I have a hard time convincing anybody else other than working on myself.
That's one of the reasons during COVID I was like, I'm not getting vaccinated. This makes no sense. And I made it known to the public on TV and op-eds, letting everyone know why I wasn't getting it and why we shouldn't be forced to have to get it. I always love having you on the show. Is there anything you'd like to leave us with before we go?
I spend my time trying to get a message out each day with my Liberty Report, with his live stream, Ron Paul Liberty Report, at 11 Central Time. And we're always looking for new people who make comments. And, you know, in the last few weeks, we switched to Rumble, and Rumble's been very, very courteous and kind to us. And it's been so much better than wherever we were, you know, YouTube. And so our numbers are improving, and that's always encouraging. So I welcome more viewers to the Liberty Report.
Awesome. Well, everyone, go check it out. Dr. Ron Paul, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. It's an honor to have you on the show.
Thanks, Lisa. Talk to you later.
That was Dr. Ron Paul. Always great having him on the show. Obviously, he's been warning about all of this stuff for the longest time. So it's just good to kind of hear his wisdom and hear what he has to say. So I appreciate him taking the time. I want to thank you guys at home for listening to the show every Monday and Thursday. But you can listen throughout the week. Feel free to leave us a review, give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. I want to thank John Cassio, my producer, for putting the show together. Until next time, thanks so much.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.